Red Elk is an inter-tribal medicine man. He is a self-described half-breed Native American of the Blackfeet and Shoshone nations, as well as part Irish and French. He is a member of the Hiaka Society, a contrarian group of Native Americans who do not follow the normal path of mankind. He is one of the 9 members of the Red Web Society, working to bring understanding of many hidden sacred teachings to the people here on Earth. He's also an honorary member of the Cherokee Nation's Twisted Hair Society. In 1973, Red Elk went on a 69-day fast, taking water, juices, vitamins. On or about the 49th day, Red Elk began to experience a vision about the future. And for a little more than an hour each day for 3 days, Red Elk saw and experienced a future that he did not want to see. He's our very special guest tonight on Coast to Coast, welcoming him back to the airwaves, Red Elk. Hello, Red Elk. Thank you for coming back here.
Thank you, my brother, for inviting me. And, boy, that little introduction reminded me what I did see, and I still don't want to see it. But I'm seeing this happen.
I know. We'll talk about that. You know, when I was doing some research about your visit today, and I was on your website, and I saw something that said, I'm leaving the public's eye soon. It bothered me, but I wanted to ask you, so why? Well, what is going to become of Red Elk?
Only the great one knows that. Right now, I'm in the process of finishing a book, and I don't even know how I'll advertise it because I don't intend to be back on anywhere, or let alone my own website. And by the way, if anyone is interested in that website, please go to it and copy it off. It's unusual. And go to all the archives and stuff like that, because that's going to end that way. I do have a problem in the sense that I don't want my domain name to just go.
Right.
Because I've watched people grab something that has been, you know, really good things, and all of a sudden it's on Prono or something like that. So I just don't know what to do. I'll have to keep. I don't want to sell it, and I don't. So I guess I have to pay for it for the rest of my life. I don't know. But,
well, maybe we can get some people who understand domains, and they might be able to hold it for you for, you know, as long as you want or something. We can work something out on that, Red.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah.
I'm still a one-finger typer. And I tell you, Mr. Norrie, before we carry on, allow me to say this to the people, and you do, you too. Do not believe a word I say. Please check it, and check it 3 times. And find out if I tell truth or lies. And that's just something that you check it in your own way. But don't believe it. Don't walk off saying Red Elk said. I don't want people creating a religion around Red Elk or whatnot.
And,
so please don't do that. That's number one.
That's
number
okay.
Two, Mr. Norrie, I have ached to get a hold of you personally. Because the last show you and I did, I was on a roll. I was tired. There's no real excuse, but nevertheless, I was on a roll. And we were talking about confessing your disobedience to the Creator. It's called sin in the Bible, but it means disobey. And I said, it doesn't, you know, it goes from you to the person that you did it to, not to and for the life of me, my brother, forgive me, please. I could not think of a Catholic, the word priest, or confessional. So I blurted out. I was on a roll, and it doesn't mean go to some dweeb in a box. And Mr. Norrie, that line between you and me turned to pure ice. And I thought, oh, God, this man's Catholic, and I just blew it. I apologize to you and to all that heard.
Do not owe me an apology at all.
Well, for my sake, then, I do, and I beg forgiveness. I am sorry, and I'm glad that you – and it really turned to ice. glad I didn't stick my tongue on the phone. I had never gotten it off until spring.
I was so enamored with what you were saying anyway, Red Elk, it was fine. Don't worry about that.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much.
Over the course of the last few years, some people have sent me emails, and they had said that you weren't feeling well, your health was failing. And I wanted to just ask you, for as someone who's part of the Coast to Coast family, everyone cares about you. How are you doing health-wise? Are you okay?
I could be better, but I'm going to live a long time. I just, I'm going to be all right. I had to get a toe cut off, and did I have fun, and still do, with that toe. I told the doc, save it. I got to bury it. It's part of my soul. It's the way of the Indian. Anyway. And it's not buried yet, and that was 2 years ago. It's still sitting in the freezer. I could tell you a story that would I tell you, Mr. Noy, or if you don't mind. I call people brother and sister because we're all from the same mind.
You can call me brother. You can call me anything you want, Red Elk.
Well, we're all from the same mind womb of the Creator. So, therefore, we're from the same womb, and you are my brothers and sisters. And if you don't like it tough, you probably have trouble with a brother or sister in your own house, too, but doesn't mean you don't love them. But, so don't be offended, anybody, when I say brother and sister. And besides, I've written and talked to and met thousands of people, literally, since 1999. And I can't remember these names, you know. So brother and sister works out real good for this old geezer.
Well, you keep fighting it. You know, we're on for 3 hours tonight, so if you can hold on with that, I'd love to have you for the full program.
Not a problem. But, Mr. Norrie, brother, I don't like calling people Mr., and believe it or not, the Indians don't like that.
Call me George, call me brother, whatever you feel comfortable calling me.
Hi. Thank you. That's Cree for yes. Thank you very much.
I have, and we all have enjoyed your earlier conversations with Art Bell and with Ian, and I was lucky enough to talk to you several years ago as well. So much has changed, Red Elk, since your appearances. This entire planet sometimes seems upside down. Are we in the middle of what you were talking about over the years? Is this
not
happening?
In the middle, my friend. We are just at the very beginning.
Ah.
You think it's bad now? Oh, man. If it holds true what I've been shown. This is terrible. This is really bad. I tell you, one of the things that is going to rock the United States through the catastrophes that we're going to face from war, and we lose, to volcanic activity, unbelievable spots that pop up that the science don't even know about, earthquakes that are going to open up that science doesn't know about. You know, Seattle's going to take a flying dip into Puget Sound and kiss off Seattle. And if this all holds true, and so far, everything, like I said, I got my toe cut off. And in my great vision, it showed me with two crippled feet. And right now, I got the coldest feet in the world, and it doesn't surprise me at all. I'm just living, proof of what Papa had shown me in that maybe just a hair over 3 hour vision over the 3 days. And so I rejoice in that, but I'm saddened because it can be changed. And so few pay attention to most of the so-called Christian world. I'm of the devil. I've been called every name in the book, and believe it or not, I know a number of different swear words in different languages, and so I can understand when a Pole is telling me he thinks I'm crazy in no uncertain terms, or Chinese or Indian and stuff like that. And boy, I have been really, this has been a very fascinating time. I thought I had it fascinating as a medicine, Wakayan, before I went on to Art Bell. But holy mackerel, and the things that I've experienced, and it's okay. It's okay that bad people try to throw at me. They're throwing it at the one that I love very much and is with me. And so they're really striking out at this one. Not me, the one that we call Big Brother, that the world calls Christ.
So many new people have joined the program over the last couple of years since you've been on. And some may be saying tonight, who is Red Elk? So if you could just explain to them, Red Elk, just, you know, who you are and these visions that you saw and how they came to you.
Well, I can get a pencil and paper, reader, and I'll give you a phone number if it's all right with you, Mr. Bunch.
Sure.
And you can hear in a few minutes, get you a chance to get that. But I look white. And I'm what the Indian world today calls metic, which means half-breed.
Okay.
And I don't mind using the old word half-breed. You know, half-breed's a half-breed. You can fancy it up with apple pie and ice cream, but it's still a half-breed, you know. And when I was a little tiny kid, a Wakayan medicine man of the Yakima tribe in Yakima, Washington State, would visit our house on the way to the rodeo there in Ellensburg, Washington, and always stop and have Mom wash his blanket, or rather his loincloth and his blanket occasionally. And he'd set in the outhouse while she washed it and pounded it in the old-fashioned way, and he'd bring something, you know, quail or grouse or rabbit for the family of five, plus her and dad. And in exchange, and I don't remember the first year of this gentleman, but Mom told me about it, and but I sure remember 2, 3, and 4, and on the fourth one, he never spoke anything but Indian, and that was maybe 4 words, and none of us understood it, but on that fourth year, he came back out of the rodeo to the house, which he'd never done, and scared the daylights out of Mom. My mom was Indian and didn't want anybody to know it. She told him she was Egyptian. And, well, that was in the days. To be Indian was to be worse than a black man, and you know the name that they used then.
Yeah.
Far worse. So Mom didn't want us to go through that pain. And then gave us a white name, and, yeah, well, when she died a couple of years later, I said, that's it, Mom, I'm Indian, dang it, like it or not, you're a dead woman, I'm gone, I'm Red Elk, I go to my name. And, but nevertheless, he came back, and Mom came out wringing her hands. I remember, you know, what's going on, why this, and by the way, this Indian, when he went into the encampment where the Indians went for the rodeo, they parted like the Red Sea. And people just, all the kids we could, running around and yelling and playing. And all of a sudden on each side, this man would walk right down through the middle and they would bow their heads and they held him not in fear, but in great high esteem. And I called him Chief and I liked the old guy. And he came back and he put his arm. He came, walked up to me, and I, you know, the five kids were all huddled together. What's the old guy going to do, you know? And he came up to me and put his arms on my shoulder. And we didn't know the man could speak English. And he looked at my mother and he said, one day, this boy will grow up to, what is that? I'm trying to quote, will grow up to, there's a word I can't think of offhand.
It's right there on the tip of your tongue, isn't it?
Not my tongue. it just dropped down into the bottom of my foot. But nevertheless, this boy will one day grow up to do many great things for his people. And then he put his hand on my head and shut his eyes. I guess he was giving me a blessing. He said nothing. And then he walked away, and we moved, and it's the last time we saw him. And I was called in the proper Indian way to study the work of medicine. There's a certain way that we're called, and But unlike all the other Native Americans of the United States and Canada and South America, my training didn't stop. Some tribes go 5 years, some do seven. The Cherokee do 12 or 17 before you can put out your shingle.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, but mine lasted 42 years before. I was put into the Inahayoka Society, and there's only 12 of us left, and as we die off, we are the last 12 of this long-standing, long before traditional Indians. The tradition started with the 13th of, or eight, you know, they were originally 13.
Do you all agree with the same visions?
Oh, yes.
You do? Okay.
Yes. And I'm speaking of the Inahayoka.
Yeah.
And we're trained to check everything three times. Sometimes we even, you know, can't believe what we're seeing or hearing. So we go beyond three times, but it always works out. And occasionally one will drift across the way of the other one. And did you see this or did you know that? Yeah, what did you get, you know? And it's always been identical. My brother, it's a fascinating guy. Each of us 12. There's never been a 13th since he broke away and started tradition.
How close are these visions to, let's say, the Hopis?
Just about dead on.
Are they? Same. Okay.
Yeah, just in different cultural, you know, within different nations, you know, at things like that. And those, I happened to catch that the night the Hopi gentlemen were on. And everybody was in awe, and I laughed, because all of that information that they put out are, you know, I'm not accusing them of doing this, are all in books, separate books. You know, a little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece there. So, you know, over the years, Indians have, the Hopi people have told, well, it won't hurt to tell a little bit. But another one does, it won't hurt to tell a little bit. And it all just, if you own those books, and I have over six tons of books on how-to and Indian things and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm quite a reader. And, anyway, everything they said was in a series of different books from different authors, Indian authors. So it didn't surprise me at all. But I give them credit. They went against tradition. They did why we, the native, hold sacred knowledge. And they went against the tradition of, no, we keep this for ourselves. Because now is the time, and I begged many people, Indian people, loose the knowledge. You got it, because it's to be given for now.
Red Elk, when we come back, let's talk about some of these visions. We'll also talk about these huge thunderbirds that you've heard so much about. Who are the lizard people? And what's going on right now in the inner earth? Next up, Red Elk. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our special guest tonight, Red Elk. Red, good to have you back with us again.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back, believe it or not. It really is. Been hectic, I tell you. I got introduced to the world in a big way.
You sure did. But it was huge.
Oh, Lord, that first year, I got so much mail. We're broke, folks. We're dead broke. We're still trying to crawl out of that. I've asked everybody to send a self-address stamp envelope and $2 for my time. I made under $147 that way, but personally, handwritten, I answered. I quit counting.
It took you years to get back to everybody, didn't it?
5 years, yes. But I quit counting handwritten notes that I sent and I had to pay stamps for, because these people are dingbats, you know. Everybody thinks they're the only one on earth that's going to write me, and So, yeah, we went up into $86,000 in debt, and right now we're at $42,000. We're getting it down.
Gosh.
And but I just couldn't turn people down. And, folks, I wrote everybody that I got letters from. Maybe I didn't get a letter, and you never heard from me. But over that five-year period of sending mail back, and that was just handwritten. 80,000, I quit counting. And then a volunteer came and started typing for several days. And it just went on and on. It hasn't stopped, really.
My gosh, but, you can't take much more then, right? Obviously.
Well, it's wore me out. I've had a heart attack, one near one. I had a stroke and two near ones. And I told the doctor I had a heart attack and... I had to have this surgery, and they needed all kinds of crud, you know, and they put me on a throttle, treadmill or whatever, and then, you know, paid out all kinds of great money I didn't have. I finally got that paid off, but anyway, and the end result, I walk in the office for a report pre-surgery, and he said, "You had a heart attack." And I tell you, this old man, I got my ups and downs, and I really get ticked off sometimes. And I looked at him, and pardon me, and I said, "Damn it, doctor, I told you that in the first place. If you just listened to me, boy, I'd chew that poor guy out." When he said, "Well, why didn't you come in?" And I said, "What are you going to do? You're going to put me in a dark room, lay me on my back. I know I've had EMT training." And anyway... And all you're going to do is monitor me and give me aspirins. And by the way, bare aspirin, you know, they're charging $10 per aspirin. $10.
In the hospitals?
That's right.
You should be better off to walk in with your own bottle.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I said, that's what you're going to do. Monitor me, make me lay my back. I've never slept on my back in life. And I says, and then when the heart heals, I says, "Shoot, you're going to send me a bill and kill me with a heart attack."
Yeah, I can believe that. Hey, Brett, we've been getting incredible calls over the last several years from people witnessing these huge birds.
Oh, good. Yeah, go ahead, man. I love this. I have a special thing to do. I'll share it with the people and you, my brother.
Now, you call them the Thunderbirds, right?
Yeah, Pika.
What are they?
They are birds that existed long ago, never ceased. They're mostly down in South America. They have a breeding ground in that area. But they are slowly coming back to the States. Now, 2 years ago, I spent 3 months with the Cree Indians. Boy, there's a group of Indians who, you know, wow, my heart is with the Crees. I love them.
Now, where are they located?
All over Canada and down into the United States, coast to coast. They are a huge bunch of sweethearts and some pains in the rear. But as a nation, I love them. I wish I was Cree. But nevertheless, I was at this, asked to come up to this big Cree gathering and speak, and I did, and I think there was five. Five women came to me and very hesitantly and said, "Red Duck, we have something to share." And you could see they felt they were in trouble sharing this. You could see it in their eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, well, it turns out they are the protectors of a certain spot concerning the Thunderbirds up in Canada, way up real close to the Yukon. And they belong to a society, and they were stepping out of bounds from the society by coming to me in this group and presenting this knowledge to me. And I raised my hand, and I said, "Wait, let me tell you, you are the protector of the Thunderbird Cave, the Bird Cave, it's called.
A bird
cave. The three mountains up there by the Yukon," and they look totally shocked. And I said, "That is in a face of a cliff of the three mountains. And that is a slope that goes down inside, a rock slope. It's almost like granite, a whole mountain for that face. And I says, it ends at a T, and if you go left, you're going to learn bad knowledge, evil. If you go right, you will learn all sacred good knowledge. And this is what you're protecting. And, man, they started chatting away in Cree, and one of them looked at me at first and said, he knows. Well, sure I know. You know, part of my job is to know about tunnels and caves and like that. But anyway, I am, folks, hear me. I haven't got a dime to do it. I got a busted truck that's going to cost me quite a bit of money just to get back up there. And I am called to go back to the sacred bird cave.
Is this like a breeding ground up there?
It was the ancient breeding ground before the flip, that one of the four flips of Earth. Or five. Well, this is five we're in the process of. And what happened is explosions of volcanoes and everything, and they left their eggs there. They fled. And, I rode them. I rode their mind. The medicine people know what I'm talking about.
I understand, yeah.
And they were screaming, what about our children, you know, ready to hatch, babies. Oh, they were so human in emotion, it was unbelievable. Pterodactyls flying around, thousands of birds. But these are the brilliant ones of the birds. These are the human-type thinkers of the birds.
I heard they had like a 20-foot wingspan, red elk.
Generally 22 on average, but they do go up to 27 and I think 28.
Huge.
Oh, yes, and they're beautiful. They're eagles, but they're just they're something else. And anyway, I've got to go up there, and they're the top medicine man of the Cree, all across Canada, the number one medicine man. He's got to make me, and he's going to an eagle flute, or not flute, but whistle. And I've got to climb that mountain with this old body and this one toe missing, the one next to it.
How are you going to do that?
I'll do it. It's my calling. I'll do it if I've got the money to do it. And I'll have a lot of crees. If they got to go to the top of the mountain and tie rope after rope after rope and throw it down and haul me to that place, they'll do it. That kind of people. And I will call. I've got a certain ceremony, and I will literally call them back to their old breeding ground. And this is one of the jobs that I've got to do in Canada. But I only have three backers, a man and a wife and a single man, that every month, like clockwork, they send me a little bit of money. Those are the only backers that I have that I can count on. And it's always less than $200 a month, and I use that amount a week on gas. And between me.
How big were these eggs, or are these
oh,
eggs?
Alex Kahanakew is the Cree that I'm speaking of, the medicine man. And he, at this meeting I told you about, the powwow, the big powwow means meeting. And he came to me, and I was sitting outside this huge lodge, meeting lodge, a big teepee. And he said, Red Hawk, I have some men that would like to talk to you and I'd show you something. And I said, well, sure, you know. And they brought in this stone about the size of a woman's bowling ball, you know, mm-hmm. smaller size.
Yeah.
Perfectly round. And they brought it to me, and he talked to him in Cree, and I said, well, give it to me and let me see what it's all about. And so they handed me the stone, and I held it, and I shut my eyes and do what I do, and then I placed it to my forehead, and I was shocked, and I looked up, and I said, this is not a stone. This is an egg. It's a Thunderbird egg.
Oh, my God.
And there's an embryo inside. A prehistoric, you know, not all stone embryo. And it was about to give birth and peck its way out. And they got all excited. He was telling them, you know, he could speak white and Greek. They got all excited because they is in a protected area, and they have prehistoric stone stick nests with these eggs in it up there.
They must have been huge, the nests.
From what I see, yeah, they're pretty darn big. Yeah, but they're like our eagle nests, except they were in the rocks, you know, on the rocks and stuff, not in trees. And they had this whole area, these three mountains, hold these things, and they're very sacred. And they try to keep the whites away from it because these dang whites, they get on anything, and oh boy, I'm going to have that for my collection or go bowling or
put it in a zoo or something.
Yeah, we're a bunch of idiots. But nevertheless, I'm to go back and call the Thunderbirds home, and you will see them all over North America again. They're there. They're rare, and it's hard to find them because they ride the storm.
Heard some scary stories that they have in the past tried to pick up a children.
Oh, yeah.
They do that.
Well, sure. But basically, you know, a regular eagle is a scavenger. You know, it'll go down, and you see them when the cows are calving, and they eat the placenta and stuff like that. And they will grab a young calf, if a very little calf, our eagles, if they can do it, and try to haul it off.
Yeah.
And what happened is, as they were migrating down into South America and sticking around the states, lower states, you know, over a long time period, they would follow the great buffalo herds and do the same thing, try, you know, eat the placenta. Now, these are thunderbirds. And grab calves, and they're much bigger, and they could get some buffalo calves. Well, white man, being white man, oh boy, let's go out and kill these things, and not birds, but the buffalo. So they had to travel on because there was not these vast herds that they could eat off of. So they ended up down south. There's not a lot left. But they're coming back, and they're going to breed. But I've got to do that ceremony, that service.
With the whistle.
With the whistle and some other things. But
there's an old legend in Alton, Illinois, old Native American legend about what is called the Piesaw bird. And they've got this picture, this huge sketched picture up on the banks of the Mississippi. And there's a story, Red Elk, that goes with it, that they used to fight this huge bird as it would swoop down. And I don't know how much of it is legend and how much of it is real, but it sounds like a thunderbird.
It sounds like it. And I'll tell you, this is true, folks. You don't have to believe it. But unlike the rest of the world, the Indians are very truthful. And if you've heard that legend, you can bet on it.
Yeah. Something happened a long time ago.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's just one of the things I've got to do. There's a woman's staff.
How old are you now?
I'll be 65 June the 18th.
My God, you don't stop, do you?
No, I won't stop until I'm 157.
Well, your website's still up and running, right?
For those that would get your pencil and paper, please.
Yeah, let's give your way. You know, we got a link up for you, but there are some people driving their cars and trucks, and why don't you give them your website if you?
The website is simple. Just if you want, just write redelk.org, and then press that, and it'll come up www.redelk.org. Now make sure it's org. If it's net, you're going to get the Red Elk. Hunting lodge. So it's redelk.org. And please do yourself a service. Go through all of it, all the old website, the archives, and everything else, and look at it. I've spent 6 years now.
Is that old classic DVD still available? Your Vision DVD?
Oh, yes. And matter of fact, if anybody ready to write a phone number, and want to order it without, you know, if you can't get a computer, the information is on the computer. If you're interested in it, it took 11 and a half hours to tape, and they cut it down I don't know.
A couple hours at least.
An hour and 47 minutes or something. Missed quite a bit, but did as good as they could, and they did pretty good. But there's a toll-free number, and there is somebody standing by now, you know, that type of thing. And this was all set up just three days ago, and the number is 888-999-1985.
Oh, that's easy.
1985.
It's very easy to remember. 888-999-1985.
Yeah. Okay. And you can call there anytime. And by the way, I was told I've only got one line, so if it's busy, just keep calling.
Keep calling. All day, all night, all
week. Yeah, yeah. Keep the poor bugger awake.
All right. You know, we're going to talk with you about lizard people next hour, but these visions that you've seen and the other members of the Hayoka Society,
I try to sound it out for you people.
Can these visions be changed? Can they be altered?
Yes, my brother. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Poor Lisa, a lion, you know. She says, don't you have anything but doom and gloom? and my guy says, aren't you listening to the show, lady, you know? I said, we can change these things. You know, I tell about the doom and the gloom, but it doesn't have to be. And that's one reason I'm in Menominee, Wisconsin at this moment. I was with Mr. Stuart Best doing Earth Changes documentary that he's going to put out. And it's over now. I leave in the morning and drive almost 1,000 miles through snow and storms. Pray for me, Pope.
You do this all by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right, you stay stay healthy.
But, yes, it can be changed. We are Nineveh. The place called Earth is equivalent to Nineveh, which was an event in the scriptures foretelling about this event coming. Because Nineveh was so anti-God and doing their own thing, God sent Jonah to go and warn him. I'm going to destroy you in 3 days. Well, you know that story. But after he got vomited up at the beach, he decided, well, maybe I better do it. Who knows? Maybe a giant sand flea will get me next. And anyway, so he told the king and the whole city, the whole nation of Nineveh repented. That means that better than 85% up. Repented, which means turn away from sin, turn away from disobedience to the Creator, God.
All right,
that's what those two words
take
mean,
this break.
Turn away from disobedience.
All right, Red Elk, we'll be back with you in just a moment. Fascinating. Lizard people, who are they? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Red Elk, this was a little before my time here, but did you ever go hunting for that Mel's Hole? Remember that story?
Oh, yes. That's the one that got me with Mr. Bell in first place.
Yeah, all right. What happened about that?
Well, it's there. I've been called all kinds of liar and stuff like that. It's covered by an outbuilding. Anybody crazy enough to go on that piece of land, they're out of their tree. You know, it's got plants that are plastic, that they're sound sensors. It's well protected. This little outbuilding is maybe 16 by 16, you know, all the way around, maybe. And oddly enough, I thought the roof lifted. But no, it opens like a book. And at certain times, they open this up, and big ships come down and unload. And, it's there. And I don't care what you believe. I don't care if you think I'm nuts. I'm not here to lie to people. And I moved some 8.5 miles away from where I had been during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears that the UFO activity that was sporadic, but quite a bit of it, has just about died down in Kittitas County. And And that hole has a lot to do with it. And that hole is not a bottomless pit. It's 27 to 27 and a half miles deep. It's a blowhole from Mount Rainier. And I'll say this, there's another hole similar to it in depth and stuff. And the Indians, the Yakimas, they keep that secret, and with good reason. Otherwise, a damn government will have that too. But nevertheless, yes, it's there, and I ran into all kinds of trouble with it. I've been followed by helicopter, one of those black ones. I was watching because it was about the right time for one of the giant UFOs to come in and hover over it, and late at night. And next thing I know, here's the police, and you know, I'm not breaking any law. I'm off of the road quite a ways, and I'm not on private land. And in the middle of the night, and I had my camera and stuff, and I just sitting there with the light on, writing a letter and watching that spot, and. Then another cop comes, and lo and behold, it's a policeman that I've known since I was a younger man, and he leaned down, and he said, "Red Elk, we know about Mel's Hole. Be careful." And then he stood up, and he said that in a whisper, and he stood up and said to the other two sheriffs, he said, "He's all right. I know Red Elk. He's not doing anything wrong." Oh, okay. So off they went.
And left you alone. So what is it about that hole that UFOs would show up over?
Well, it's connected to other below-ground tunnels now. And the Draculian race of the lizards that everybody thinks I'm crazy use that and to load and unload things onto the ship that comes down. A giant ball is one of them. The other one looks like about the size of an aircraft carrier. And they use it to bring stuff in down into their lower cavern living areas. And unfortunately, what they unload or, you know, take out of the hole are sacred to them, sacred bones. They murder people and do certain things with it and grind it and put it in white gold. And it's for longevity. And gosh, it's I took another medicine man with me over there, and it just scared the daylights out of him. They had murdered a red-headed woman from Issaquah, I think.
And these are actual-looking lizard people.
Yeah, they're people, and soul bearers in that sense. They're our brothers and sisters. You know, we're not alone in this world of planetary systems
but,
or anything.
But they're violent, I guess?
Oh, yeah. They think they're God. If there's a God, they don't believe in it. And if there's a God, they're it. If there's a devil, they're it. They can do anything they want. And I've had my run-ins with them. And but they're very, very real. I told before getting a letter, it's sitting there at my desk at home. I ran across it just last week and pulled it out. A lady in New York or New Jersey, as a kid, she and her little brother and a bunch of friends snuck into an abandoned building and were playing down in the basement amongst the pipes, and they heard a noise and stuff, and turned around, and there was a lizard child. Oh. And they all took off. She literally said, "Red Elk, I'm ashamed to admit it. I pulled my brother out of the, going out the window and went over the top of him, and I peed my pants."
Oh, God. Red Elk, do they look human at all? I mean, do they have
No
human features at all?
Well, eyes, legs.
Eyes, legs. They walk on
tail and dragon, and they've got, their skin is basically scaly. They look like an upright walking lizard, and
are they green or what?
Well, they've got a mottled green, khaki and
okay.
color combination, and some are, you know, none of them are really tall. Maybe 6'2" at the very tallest, but generally our size, you know, 5'7", 5'9".
Do they look like, you know, snake heads or what?
Well, they got a lizard face.
They do have a lizard face.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. But they're people, you know. And I look at, as I call you brother and sister, I call them brother and sister.
Even as violent as they might be?
Well, most certainly they are very violent. But I'm not afraid of them, so that makes them afraid of me.
You wouldn't introduce them to your friends, though, I take it, would you?
I have. But I guarantee you they're with me when it's happening.
Yeah, they don't want to leave your side.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so these lizard people would be extraterrestrials, I take it.
Yes, yes. But the first group of outer space beings, if you want, that came to Earth after man was first made.
All right.
And literally the first soul-bearing people after Lucifer came here and set up his base in the center of our Earth. Lucifer and his angels were first, and then, people were first. Lucifer and the angels came, and then they came. And they have spent centuries and centuries, eons down here, you know, trying to... They got an agenda, and I've got the book called The Agenda, a booklet, and I sell that. And frankly, I don't mind pushing it. I need the money. I got a lot of things to do, and I'm deep in debt. So if you want it, you know, just giving me money. You get something.
Now, if it's a good book, it's a good read, right?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a good book, but it's an interesting one, just like the one I'm doing now on short stories. But nevertheless, they're real people. And you know, I love Lucifer. Can you believe that? I truly love Lucifer.
Who, you do?
Well, yes. Stop and think about it. You're a Christian, Bent, aren't you, right?
Sure.
All right. God is in all things. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't
No.
I mean, I don't go running off to church every Sunday.
Well, good. That's a... Stay away. But, you know, just talk to Papa and love him. And never mind.
Well, would you be considered a Luciferian?
No. Let me explain.
All right, I'll give you that.
God is in all things.
Yes.
Now, in time travel, I'm an expert in time travel. I literally can claim that. That's one of my fortes. Time travel and imagery is my specialty. The inner Hayoka each have specialties. And, Lucifer went, God called him, Dad called him, and said, look, I want to make something special. I love you angels, I made you angels, but, you know, and you love me, and that's why you're serving me. But I want to give people, I want to invent a new thing called people with souls. And they need to love me or not. I want to give them self-will choice. And they can't have it unless they have another area to go to. They've got me, or they will have me like you have me, but I need a choice.
The opposite.
Right, and I would like to know, now this is his second in command, I'd like to know if you'd be willing to do that job. And Lucifer, loving God, and said, well, yes, sir, you know. And he said, now wait a minute. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I was there. I watched what went on. Anyway, he says, I want to warn you. You will turn your back on me and try to overcome me. And the event of Peter saying, oh, it won't happen, and Jesus said, you know, get thee behind me, Lucifer, you know, Satan.
Yeah.
This is, that is a little event of what went on in this meeting. And he told him it would be, and Lucifer, dumbly, couldn't believe his own God, that he knew that they've been together for centuries and centuries, and he loved God dearly, and there's no way I'm going to turn away from you.
He really had no choice, you're saying.
He had a choice. The choice was this. No, I don't want to take the assignment. Find somebody else.
So he takes it.
So because of his love for God, he takes it. Feeling, honestly, in his great heart that... it would not, God is a little loopy on this one, you know. I'll never not love God. I'll never want to take his place. And that's the way it went. Well, it turned out that God is always right, and God was right. And, But thank God for Lucifer, because if Lucifer wasn't here doing his job of temptation only, we're the ones to grab it and run.
Well, but didn't Lucifer Red Elk become evil?
Yeah. Yeah. His slowly over eons of time, he got to really want to be God.
He started to enjoy this.
You betcha. And anyway, without Lucifer, we would not have self-will. We would not have choice. Isn't that a wonderful gift of God, to allow Lucifer to exist? And isn't it wonderful of Lucifer to say, yeah, I'll do it, not really expecting that he'd turn his back on that?
Well, then things kind of got out of hand with
him. Right, right. And can't you just love the whole plan, the whole reason for it? I love Lucifer, and I tell you, because I love him, I mean, it's an agape love for him. Because I love this great being, he's scared to death of me. I've faced him. I have actually faced the true Lucifer.
What does he look like?
Well, it was so dark in my bedroom after seeing him, I hit my nose with my hand trying to see how far away I can see my fingers.
Yeah.
And when he was there, he was so dark it made the room look like it was in dusk. And he had totally undressed. No sexual organs at all. None of the angels have them. And a body people would just die for. You know, man, perfect. About 22 foot tall.
22 feet?
Oh, yeah, but there's bigger angels than that. But nevertheless, no horns, wasn't red, no long tail. He was blacker than black.
Wasn't running around with a pitchfork.
No, no, no.
Did he look human, facial?
Oh, yeah, beautiful angel, beautiful. Except for that face that just hates God. It just ruined it, you know. Absolutely beautiful.
Do you think deep down inside he wishes he didn't take that assignment?
I think so. I do. I do. Deep, deep, deep down inside. Oh, and speaking of down inside, I've asked people to get a pencil and paper. Let me get off the subject here. There's something very important. If anybody that's listening knows a doctor or a nurse or is one, or someone who is an amputee or someone caretaking an amputee, I want you to take this information down if you will permit it, Mr. North.
Yes, sir.
This is a healing way. Now, when I got my toe cut off and the pain started coming and the pain pills started leaving, oh, my gosh, the pain in that non-existent toe was terrific. Not in the stump, but the toe. And so, okay, I'll take care of that, and I did. Well, later on that night, they were waking me up every hour and pumping all kinds of crud in me. And the head nurse and two other nurses came in at the same time. And then one of the nurses, I don't remember which, said, have you felt phantom pain yet? And I said, yeah, but I took care of it. And all three nurses just stopped what they were doing and looked at me. And she said, you what? I said, I took care of it. I don't have it anymore. And she says, it's impossible. You can't do it. And I looked at her and I laughed. I said, I'm a medicine man. Don't tell me it's impossible. I know how to do these things. Well, they went, when my surgeon came, they evidently saw him. The very early next morning, he's coming in to swaddle my foot, check it out. And he says, I hear that you have a remedy of getting rid of phantom pain, phantom foot, phantom arm, phantom finger, thumb, whatever. And I says, yeah. And, well, I didn't really know it. All 12 of us knew and know this way. I don't know if any other medicine man or woman knows about it. I really don't. But the 12 inners do. And suddenly the head nurse came in, off shift. He wanted to hear what was going on. And he says, well, can you share how? Now, folks, this is why I want you to write it down. It's very important. We have a lot of people coming home from the wars that have got pieces missing. We have people in car accidents. people overseas, listen to you, this, Arabians, if you're hearing it, Muslims, I don't care. You're all my brothers and sisters. I love you all. But people that have got missing parts, we are, the scripture says, never mind Muslims, don't get upset. This is just something I am saying. Scripture said, God said, let's make man in our image, which is not, you know, I'm not Chinese, I'm not a pygmy, and I'm not a lizard. So what image is he talking about? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three. And as you read the Bible, those that do, it says body, mind, and spirit is man, three. We are literally triplets. You comb your hair, you brush your teeth, and you don't know, but you're superimposed of it on with two others. So we have three. We are three people, literally, soul, mind, and body. Spirit the mind is a soul, and the mind is not the brain. It's all. But anyway, that's another story. But the spirit, the Christians say, see, that's your soul. No. That's a nagual. That's an angel you're born with. All are born with this inborn knowledge. There is but one God. Call him what you may, or it. You're born with it. But that's another story. But nevertheless, we're three. And we have consciousness, subconsciousness, but we have a deep, 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 deep third consciousness. That third consciousness says, no, my toe is not off, Red Elk. It's there. And I'm looking at it, and I know better. It's not there, right? But the deep, deep, deep says, no, you were born with that darn thing. It's yours. It's been with you all your life, and nobody's taken it away. It's there. So it says, look, and it makes it itch or ache or whatnot. I got to cut my toenail. You know, you got a feeling.
Yeah.
And it's not there. So all you've got to do is say somebody with their leg cut off. Please, get this out. Get this out. Music.
Yeah, we'll finish this up when we come back. I want to hear this. We'll be back. And then, of course, we're going to talk about this great vision that he sees. Well, Red Elk, you were talking about that third kind of deep consciousness, and I'll let you pick it up from there.
All right, my brother. Thank you. And please, before we take callers, I'd like to finish up. One of your questions is, can we change it? What's happening?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll take calls next hour.
Hi, hi. Here's what you do. Please, if anybody has, anyone that has a body part missing and you know, outside part type thing, simply say a leg is cut off, part of a leg, a foot, the whole darn thing. It doesn't matter, or an arm or whatnot. As long as it isn't the head, you can do this.
Yeah.
But there it is. You see the stump. Consciously, you know darn well it's off. Deep, deep down. Deep down, I was born with it. No, it's not gone. That's what is, you know, causing this pain and itching and tickling and whatnot. So, simply act as if it is there. Rub it. Scratch it. Massage it. I know it's air. You know it's air. But the deep consciousness is saying, aha, see, I told you. And, well, I guess you're right. So you're conning the one that's trying to convince you that it's there. It's that simple. In a matter of just a few short moments to minutes, the pain, that you know, shooting pain in that leg that's not there is gone. Or that wild itch that the... God, I wish I could itch that thing. Well, itch it. Massage it. Now, remember, if a leg's gone, go down that air, empty air, squeezing or whatever you need to do, and you don't squeeze your hand together because your leg wasn't that dang skinny. You understand?
Right.
Act as if you're really handling the leg that was there, just like the other leg that is there. And go... on the ankle, go up the non-existent foot, you know, and massage it. And so it disappears and it never comes back, ever. I told this to the surgeon and the head nurse, and they gave me two numbers, one in Vermont, I believe, and one in California, two nurses, and asked me to please call them at my expense. Yeah. But nevertheless, I did, and they have started teaching that. The surgeon and the nurse, she shook her head when the surgeon said this. In our college days, we're told there is nothing that can be done for this. People have just got to live with it. Folks, we have soldiers that are hurting, itching, scratching, you know, want to, but it's not there. Just go ahead and do it. It is there to the deep, deep consciousness. And it stops. Well, the surgeon, I went home after the inspection, and the surgeon called me about 4 days later. He said, "Red Duck, I've had a young man had his lower half of his lower leg cut off just 2 days after I did you, and is driving him up a wall. Could I give him your phone number?" And he did call me, this young man. And he had a caretaker, you know, because he's convalescing. And I talked to her first, and I said, "Now, let me talk to him." And I did, and I explained what it's all about. Well, I saw the surgeon again a month later, and he said, "This guy said, I've got to meet that man. I haven't had an itch or anything since." Now, this is 2 years ago, and I saw the surgeon here just last month when he was working on my granddaughter from a car accident. And he said, "Red Elk, that guy's got a paraplegic, or one of those weird legs, you know." And he says, I saw him here just about 5 weeks ago, and he's doing great. He hasn't, I've asked him about it. He hasn't got a lick of problem with it, you know, the pulse pain and stuff. And he said, "Here." And he gave me a paper. I was in the office, and he gave me, had the secretary bring in a paper signed by him, a full report, so that I could get a hold of VHW or anybody. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to listen.
It's like mind over matter, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Now, furthermore, surprise, surprise, I can grow my foot, my missing toe back. I have a friend that cut his thumb off, I think it is, in a band, not a bandsaw, but doing some building, one of those round skill saws on the table.
Yeah.
And he's growing his back. And science says we can grow back, you know, missing parts back. It's just that you don't really believe it.
While they're working on it, and you may be right, that may all happen soon.
All right. Thank you. People, please get this knowledge out. It's so simple, and it works. And call it Red Elk Medicine if you want. I don't care. But let's help everybody on this planet that has that problem, whether they're what you call enemy or friend or whatnot. They're still brothers and sisters.
All right. Now, we were talking about our ability to change the future.
Yes. Thank you, my brother. Listen, we, Earth, is Nineveh. God said to Nineveh, an event, a big event at that time. But these events in the Bible are also foretellings of how you can trust on what happened here to now. And literally, if we turn away from our wrongdoing before the sight of the Great One, and 85 to 87% of Earth's population must do this. Like mine, say, "God, I've really screwed up my life. I'm sorry, Papa." And mean it. Really mean it. Then Nineveh won't be destroyed in 3 days. It'll go to the next generation until they screw up and don't get right. We can put off the Earth shift that we're headed for. And look, the four horsemen are on the earth running around now, all four loose. And we're in for a heck of a time, but we can stop it. We brought it.
What happens if we don't, Red Elk?
All hell's going to break loose, and it stops at Armageddon.
Well, and like you said, we're right at the beginning of it now, aren't we?
Yeah. All right, allow me to give my number out one more time.
Please, sure thing. I'll even let you do it next hour, too.
Well, thank you very much. Folks, if you're interested, you don't have to get this, but if you're interested, All the money that I get out of this goes on being, trying to catch up on all these dang back bills and goes on these trips that I take. The Indians try to help me as best they can, but there's never enough, gas money and stuff. But my DVD, you can get through the my website, which is redelk.org, O-R-G, or www.redelk.org. And or you can call 888-999-1985-1985. And there's only one line there, but he's up been keeping his fingers crossed.
Keep,
and,
keep him awake, huh?
You might as well. Poor guy. But hey, thank you, George. And I will have a book coming out called Short Stories. And what it does, it correlates the Native American way.
We've got a huge audience in Seattle. They listen to us on our number one station there, KVI Red Elk. And
occasionally, I have to go to that station because you drift in and out here.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You mentioned that city, that something could happen. It could, a tsunami hits it. What
happens is that, brother, put your pointing finger right in front of your face somewhere there. You know, not close, but look at your pointing finger. Pointing straight, horizontal, all right?
All right.
Now, the next one, pull it out and make a V, but on its side. So one's horizontal and the other one's going down, right?
Okay.
Now, on the end of the pointing finger is Seattle. And this is all landmass in front of it, for the rest of it, down through the palm, toward the palm of your hand. And Seattle is sitting on a plot of earth shaped like this giant V. It's deep. And it's going to split off behind Seattle and slide into Puget Sound, creating a tsunami wave so great that, and this affects up into Alberta, up into Alberta and down the coast, so great that the wave it creates goes over Snoqualmie Pass, many passes, stops the Columbia River trying to run out. It's trying to run in. They collide. The river backs up. The creeks that feed the river and all the rivers that feed that river and on and on and on. Dams break the whole kit and caboodle. And tell if anybody knows, get a map if you don't. Look at Washington State. And you end up with Spokane, which is up towards the side of Washington, towards Idaho. You end up with Puget Sound on the east side of Spokane.
Oh, my gosh. Now, when do you foresee this?
All I know is it's going to be. Now, I foresee Mount Si by North Bend, Washington State blowing up, and I talked with the mountain. And I was so excited, I didn't check. It did not happen the time the mountain told me this will be within, I think, 2.5 or 3 years. That time frame passed about a month and a half ago. It did not take place. I did not check. When I'm told by Papa, it is going to be. Now, I did check, and Papa says this. It will be. Period. It will be. As I told, but not in the time frame the mountain told. What stopped it? I don't know. But I was standing there talking back and forth with Big Si and Little Si. And so it will take place. And but time frame on the earthquake for this, I don't know. Well, when Mount Rainier goes, it's going to take the scientists by surprise. They'll find activity increase, but, you know, nothing really drastic, they think, and boom, up it goes.
Let's hope it's 1,000 years from now, right?
No, unfortunately, it will, all of this, unless we change it, all of this will happen within 25 years, definitely within 25. You can pretty much count by the year 12.
So you believe that our humankind, through this, what, mind and mass consciousness, that we can fix things?
Well, sure. Look, you can go out and look at a cloud, concentrate on it, and tell the cloud to do a circle. Turn backwards.
Do you need millions of people to do it together, or can one person do this?
I wish one person was that strong.
Yeah.
But all, you know, you and I, George, we are one. We came from the same mind womb.
Yep.
And many things, you look in the scripture, you know, Pentecost, they were in like mind. Many of these things require like mind. Never mind your differences of color and your hate of that man type and this man type and our wars. Love God, love earth, love all your brothers and sisters, and turn away from doing wrong and saying, Papa, I'm sorry, and the earth Nineveh, we are the Ninevites now. Well, it will stop it cold until the generation that comes up that decides that that's a bunch of malarkey.
Are you a believer, Red Elk, in reincarnation?
Yes, but not at all. It is not. It's not at all the way it's explained. Boy, Mr. Pennant, the young man.
Ian.
Ian. He told me he was going to come and see me. And he didn't.
He didn't?
No, he did not. And furthermore, worse than that is he didn't notify me. I put that month off doing other things because I wasn't sure what date.
I will have a little chat with you.
Well, wait one. Oh. So I got a hold of him.
Oh, you did? All right.
And he said another time, negative. Now, we go by scriptures at the Inner Hioka. You go to somebody that's, you know, and you say, hey, you got some problems, let's talk it over. I'm not interested, you know, that type of thing. Then you go back with others. I'm not interested. And then the third time, I'm not interested. You say, that's all right, you're done. We ain't going to have another thing to do with you. He and Pennant did it three times to me. Caused me 3 months.
Well, don't put a spell on him or anything like
that. Oh, no. That's sorcery. I'm not allowed to do
he's,
that.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. But the first time to an Inner Hioka, it's called an accident. The second time, a slap in the face. The third time, hey, you ain't worth it. You know, that type of deal. And I would love to sit down with you people. I would bend your ears. I would show you Indian and Bible are identical. Except we didn't know how to write, so we did it in ceremony. And I could, you know, you can walk on water, levitate. Christ did it. The things I've done, you can do. You Bible believers don't believe the Bible. You believe you write.
You said Lucifer was afraid of you. How come?
Because I love him, and I'm not afraid of him.
I mean, does he just, he doesn't want to grab you and pull you down to the pits of hell?
God occasionally, Daddy occasionally has an assignment for me and sends me down to the pits of hell. Sends me into literally the domain of Lucifer. And the first time I went, I was cocky. And I ended up with a very large bite mark, lower and upper teeth mark on my back from a demon. And I learned right then and there, I go down, don't be cocky, you dumb idiot. And so when I go down with all kinds of angel support with me. They're there with me.
Protecting you?
You bet. And I'm not afraid of the demons. I'm not afraid of Lucifer. And now I go down there when I'm ordered down to do what he wants done. Now understand, these are all tunnels connected in his particular area with very small caves, like each cave's maybe a big room or something, you know, like in a house. But this goes all around the world, and this is his area and his generals, the angels that originally followed. And I open my mouth and I yell out, I do, and this is true. I say, hey, Lucifer, it's me, Red Hawk. I'm here. I love you. Come on, I want to talk to you. And that echoes down to, I don't know, maybe all around the earth. I don't know. But it echo. And eventually, as I'm trotting down this hallway of tunnel, I'll hear, ah, a Kataka, and he's running like crazy. And the demons come out of the woodwork, in a sense. You know, they got their little coves that they hide in.
It's like a mini war down there?
Oh, when I'm down there. But it's a war they can't win. I'm not touched. I love them, too.
Well, if I ever end up down there, make sure you're down there to pull me out of there, would you?
Hey, look, our Lord Christ Jesus, Big Brother, we call him, he went down there. Read the scriptures. And he went down there during his death. Hades. And he told the people, you don't belong here. And they all laughed at him. Well, he left. And there's a reason for that. I could share things with you and that are in the Bible, the most misunderstood book in the world, ever.
This has been fascinating with you. Well, stay with us, Red Hawk. We're going to take some phone calls. I'm also going to chat with you about little people when we come back, all right?
Sweet.
Because you've got some great stories about that. But this will be your hour now. We'll open up the phone lines. We've got one more hour to go with Red Elk. So make sure you make that call. And his website, redelk.org. I'll give out his toll-free number again for this incredible Great Vision DVD. 888-999-1985. It's that simple. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Red Elk, we're having an incredible loss of honeybees in this country lately. They're disappearing, and I'm talking about by millions. Huge percentages are just gone, dying, I think. Do you see anything in your visions about that?
In the visions, no. But I've known about this going to be for a long time. So what I've done, 6 years ago, I started buying honey in 5 gallon buckets because honey and locusts, if it's good enough for that dude out there in the desert of the New Testament, good enough for me and the family. Food is going to be so attacked. People are going to attack people just to eat.
I think so.
And so I got a whole bunch of 5 gallon buckets of honey. And I told my brother about this, and the dang guy got, I was thinking, help you survive, bro. But no, that dingbat, he goes and rents a rental place, and he fills it up with 5 gallons of honey, and now he's stuck with it, and he's cussing me out. You know, he was going to make a profit, but good. Serves him right. That information wasn't given.
Well, what's happening to these bees right now? Why are they dying? Where are they going?
Well, the trees themselves are not giving their goodness anymore, to be honest with you. The pollution and stuff, they're sucking up poisons in the root systems, and their buds start out with a poison that ends up as an apple or whatnot, and then they're getting it from the sky. The poor trees are having a heck of a battle trying to keep themselves going, let alone give us air.
Good point. Hey, tell me about these little people.
Okay, pretty cool. Some of them aren't, but I got a gremlin living with us in our house.
Oh, a gremlin?
I've got a dang gremlin, and I got so ticked off one day because I set something down, turned around to get it, and where did I set it? And I might find it, hours later, tearing the place apart. And finally I said, okay, what's going on? Who's here? Who's doing it? And bang, here's this little dinky gremlin. And boy, I cussed him out one side and down the other, and he gave me his name. I can't remember it. They got some oddball names. And anyway, I said, look, you need a place to stay. You're welcome here. But under my conditions, it's their cultural way. It's natural. They're like little green elves. It's just natural to do trickery. And I said, no more of these tricks. If you got to take something, take it. But do make sure it shows up here in a few minutes again. And we had that agreement, and a few years of this has finally stopped. But, they're very much there. They're actually fairies, gremlins, little dink.
Are they evil?
No. There's some evil ones.
Just but, mischief makers.
Your trolls and, Anyway, I can't think it starts with G, too.
Gremlins.
They are
gargoyles.
The Atlanteans that went underground and inbred. They aren't true little people. They're aliens that have stayed when the Atlanteans highballed it out of here during the war between the Atlanteans and the Mu. And, yeah, and I do some battles with them. But the other ones, other than occasionally, you know, a pain in the rear, like the gremlin and these little elves and stuff, they're cool people. And Dad brought them down here before he brought man down here to help set up the great garden called Earth. You know, plant the trees in the right place and all that jazz. And they stick around.
All right, let's go to some phones. That's all we've got for the rest of the hour.
Hold on, George.
Put my brakes on. Go ahead.
George?
Yes, sir.
Allow me to say this. I have a little girl called Tamara, a little Cree girl that 2 years ago was stolen out of her bedroom. I think she was 9.
Oh, God.
She's dead. I was able to lead the police to a house that she had been held in. But they couldn't nail anybody. And unfortunately, as we were driving out, we've been searching for 2-3 days. And her spirit showed up in this giant field, more like acreage. And she called my name as we were getting ready to go home late at night. And I said, Tamara, is that you? And she said, yes, I'm cold. I want my mommy. And I said, where are you at? And she pointed, and she says, I'm in the dirt. And I didn't say anything. I was so ashamed, so embarrassed. We'd rented planes, all kinds of stuff, hundreds of people across Canada looking for her. And she's up there in Regina, Canada, and I need money to get up there and take the police to her grave. And I need all kinds of backing. I'm not ashamed to say it. I need backing. I need it every month. If anybody wants to do this kind of work, which is work of the Creator, boy, I can sure use it. It's not going to go down to buy a Cadillac. It's going to get my truck fixed, and I've got the time. And also Billings, Montana, Sherry McKinney. I was going to stop to see her, but it was after 9 o'clock at night. She's a prisoner in the prison there. So I wouldn't be able to going or coming to see Sherry, and I'd like to say hello to her. She's one that I have very few that I constantly correspond with, and over the years she's gone from an anti-God, anti-this to she's starting to wake up.
You're a kind soul, Red Elk.
I don't know about that, but also one more, please. It's the only way I know how to contact these people. Two blondes, one from Sweden, one from Minnesota.
Is this a joke or a real story?
No, a real story, a real true story. The blonde that sent me a beautiful book on Sweden that I gave to the library after looking at it, so others could enjoy it. And her girl from Minnesota, they sent me a pair of wooden knives, beautiful things, 2 Christmases ago. My wife cleaned the house, and I want the address, and I've never been able to thank them. And please connect with me.
All right.
Thank you. Now let's go.
Now we go to the calls. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Red Elk. Hi there.
Hello, George. Hello, Red Elk.
Hi, sis.
I have a Lulu of a question to ask you.
Just as long as it's not a dream, I'm tired of it.
No, I believe that our vibrations and the hatred and anger and resentment the people hold inside themselves greatly affect things. But here's my question. Supposing 65% of the people decide, the heck with it, I'm just going to stay with hedonism and depravity, and only 35% of the people either turn back to God or they say, or they never were involved in the depravity to begin with, when Nineveh hits, and the 65% get clobbered. What happens to the 35%? Do we get clobbered along with it, or are we...
Sweetheart, I am sorry to say, the majority rules.
Oh, my.
Good or bad, I guess.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Get right with Papa. He's a live being. He actually speaks. But most people talk to God. They don't talk with God. And so get on your knees, have a chat with Papa. Put him in your head as a human being if you want, and run up to him and hug him and say, Daddy, you're a woman, you know. So say, Daddy, like a little girl, want a mud pie? And he'll say, sure, honey, and reach down and eat that dang thing. And it's that kind of a relationship we need. And anybody that can do it, whether you call him Allah or whatnot, it's the same dad. He knows his name. You can call him Walla Walla Bing Bang. And if your heart is aimed at that one, he knows it, and he hears.
Tell me a little bit more about this shift in the year 2012. Any tie in there?
It's a good possibility the shift is at that time. But what the people don't understand, again, I time travel a lot. I'm very good at it. And I'm not ashamed to say so. And what happened at that time, the Aztecs and the Maya were great studiers of the future. And life is filled with possibilities, all right? You might blink your eye and hit a kid coming across between cars. You might have your eye open and hit the brake instead, and that kid lives to be president. Possibilities are always there throughout all day,
sure.
All night. And what happens is all the great possibilities of mankind, they were tracing this, came down to the year 2012, and there were only two possibilities left. Everything else had been slowly whittled away from hundreds of thousands to just two, and they had no idea. It was neck to neck, nose to nose. They had no idea, are they going to turn right and stop this nonsense? Are they going to turn left and go right on into it? And literally, there was great discussion amongst the scholars of that time. And literally, I actually saw people throwing their hands up in the air like, I don't know. So that was the end of their predictions. They didn't know which way we'd go.
All right, back to some more calls. First time caller line, you're on with Red Elk. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead,
Seth. I just want to first say that God bless you and Red Elk for doing what you're doing for humanity.
Well, thank
you.
We appreciate it.
And my question for Red Elk is, as you know, there are a lot of arrogant people in this world that listen to something that things you have to say and things Art have to say, and there's a point that they're never going to reach. They're never going to reach that spiritually conscious level that a lot of people are at right now. And my question is, how can we get them on our level?
You don't. Your job is to be a baby in daddy's arms. He's the dude. He's papa. He's father. He's the one that knows what's going on, and he knows how to handle it. So you just crawl into his lap and say, Daddy, brother hurt me, or whatnot, you know. And he says, I'll take care of it. You don't worry about it. I don't want you to grab a stick and start beating him over the head. I'll take care of it. Scripture-wise, again, scripture, we rely on it greatly. He says he knows the ones he has chosen.
Thank you very much.
Aye, aye.
Okay, I appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with Red Elk. Hi there.
Hey, George, Red Elk, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, my brother.
Good. This is William from Houston.
Who?
William.
Okay, William from Houston.
I had a couple of questions I'd like to ask Red Elk.
Yes, go ahead.
My first question is, I've been traveling through my life a little confused and lost, and I'm having trouble getting back on the proper path. I was wondering what I might be able to do that, and then I had a second question
All
for
right,
you.
Sure thing. Red Elk, can you help me?
All right, sure. The proper path, the true path of purity, the way that the inner Ayoka practice, we followed Christ, Big Brother. We learned it, our ancestors of this society, and everybody's carried it on. There's only one thing, love. Don't think about yourself. Don't do things so that you'll be known as a great guy. Don't give a dialect there and skid row a dollar, but making sure somebody sees you do it. That's self, and your worst enemy is self, always. Not Satan. He just tempts. And you are your worst enemy. Always do in love. And if it doesn't work out, don't worry about it. Papa knows. Climb up into his lap and say, Daddy, I'd sure like to have them do better. And he'd say, So am I. You just pray for him. I'll take care of it. You pray for yourself. I'll take care of it. You just get in my lap. I'll take care of it.
Well, thank you. I understand. The second question I had was, like yourself, I'm a mixed breed. I'm a half-breed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some abilities. I can see things and I know things. And one of the things that I've never, ever told anybody about, and I'm already late up in my upper years, that I have the ability to do is, and it bothers me, I kind of repress it, and I'm wondering if I shouldn't do it, but I have the ability to know when somebody is ready to pass on. And sometimes it bothers me because I block it, and I'm afraid that I may see somebody's going to pass on that I may not want them to, and I may not want to carry this burden knowing without, you know, being able to tell them. I wouldn't want to tell them. But at the same time, I'm at conflict.
All right. Look, I think you're wise not telling them. But you're wiser loving them and telling them I love you. Real love. Show it in your eyes. Feel it in your heart. And love is the only thing that lasts. It's the only thing that passes over that really does any good and sticks. And that love might draw them to you, and then you can tell them, you know, I believe in Papa. I believe in his son. I believe in the Great Spirit, which is Mama, by the way, Holy Spirit, and the family. And I love you so much, and someday I'm going to die, me, and so are you. And I just want to know, let you know that Daddy loves you too. And that little piece of information, done right, through heart, tongue, through the love in your being, that one piece just might break them down. And don't worry about it. Papa's in charge.
Did you ever think of being a counselor, Red Elk?
Oh, I've counseled.
Helping people?
I do this all the time.
Put a little shingle up there and...
Oh, no, no.
People
hell, I can't make
you.
Any money as a medicine man. They get me for practicing without a license with a shingle.
I love it. You know, we'll take more calls when we come back at the half. They continue calling here for you. They love you. You know, it is, on one respect, I got to tell you, the fact that this could very well be your last interview if you indeed do leave the public's eye soon. I mean, this is kind of a sad moment, Red Elk.
Well, I don't know if it's sad. I'm doing what Daddy told me to. You know, 3 years before I ever went on Art Bell in the first place, I knew I was going on. And I was told many times, you will be on that program. You will be on that program over the years. And how do you test that? You just keep your mouth shut and find out if it's going to happen. And it happened. And Dad also tells me 2 years ago, two more years on my website. That website has been a pain in the rear to me. It costs money. And the computer, the best invention today is not the computer, but wheels on your luggage.
That's not a bad invention, I'll tell you.
No,
you're right about
isn't.
That.
You know, that doesn't give you the pain that computer does, and getting hacked all the time and having to buy somebody to do it. I still haven't learned how to put on an address, and I've had the darn thing for almost 6 full years. But nevertheless.
I hate to tell you, Red Elk, but I think the computer's probably outdated by now.
Well, it's a good deal. And when I can ever afford to, I bought a Dell laptop, and I don't know how to turn it on. I don't know how to turn it on. And it cost me almost $2,000. I'm making payments and out of my Social Security money. I'm going to get it all cleaned out and give it to my granddaughter.
Good for you. Well, you stay with us. We're going to come right back for the final segment of very special phone calls with a very special person, Red Elk. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Red Elk, tell me about time travel. I mean, how do you have this ability? How did you train yourself?
Oh, I just trained. I didn't train myself. And I train others. My two grandsons are now 10 and almost 16. They're pretty good at it. Not only time travel, but to go to, like my oldest one, he wanted to watch a wrestling match late at night. And Mom said, no, it's a school night. And I went to him, I, you know, quit your griping and groaning, shut up and listen to me, and you go upstairs and you go to bed, and I'll come up, or she'll go to bed. He was sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
As kids do.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, just shut up and do as he says and obey her, but I'll come in later and I'll teach you to go there and watch the fight right there. You know, and I did, and he stayed up watching the fights, and the next day he says, it was great. I watched the cameras, the lighting, all the crowd. I was in it, you know. It's so simple. It's one thing that on the few things that I've got left for sale on the site teaches you how to do it. And Mr. Best, his wife, and a young lady that worked for him on audio and stuff today learned how to time travel and go back, and they did it, and they, you know, they had a ball. And they also learned that animals and dogs and birds and trees can actually converse with you. This is, I don't sell that because it's too dangerous, but on one-on-one I teach it. And it's simple, but there's other secrets about time travel I don't tell.
And you can
I won't
go,
even tell about it can on,
you,
on air.
Can you go back to the past? I guess you can, right?
Well, I've gone so far back, I found out who God's mama and daddy is.
Who would it be?
Well, the Bible tells about it in the first place all the time. It's right there. The great void. No beginning, no end, no up, no down.
It was always there.
And yes, and over, even God doesn't know how long. There was no time, and still isn't. He became aware, and this awareness, I'm alive, I am nothing, became a joy, and he wanted to share it. So he invented thoughts. You know, thoughts were coming to this great void. God is the great void. And anyway, so he invented angels, and then he decided he wanted people that, angels loved him, but they had no choices. And so he invented mankind, all different kinds of mankind, different planets with different environmental bodies.
Billions of them everywhere.
Yeah. And then he gave them choice through Satan's devotion to God. And how can you not love that, you know? But you can go all the way back, but the future is filled with many parallel times, probables.
But I like the ability to change the future.
Yes, you can.
That's what's
so important. And it's simply in unity. I give up self and say, Dad, forgive me, and please help the world, help my brothers and sisters, and the other brothers and sisters from other places. They're really bad. Even the good ones don't believe in God. They forgot.
All right, let's take some final calls. Wild Card Line, you're on with Red Elk on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, hi. I guess that's me.
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you. Hi, this is Mary from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And good morning, George and Red Elk. And,
good morning.
Yeah, thank you for a wonderful show. And I wanted to ask you, I don't know if I heard you correctly before, did you use the word agape?
What is agape? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I heard that word first in a dream a couple weeks ago. Could you tell me a little bit about what it means, and then I'll tell you how I...
It's all forgiving. Holding no regrets. When you die, and on the day of judgment... Now, hear me. Some people say, when I die, I go to heaven. When I die, I go to hell. Some people don't believe in heaven or hell. Some people do believe but decide to stay here and become what you whites call ghosts, we call shades and shadow people. That's our name for them. We don't have the word ghost in our languages.
Right.
But nevertheless, those are not the true heaven. Those are not the true hell. They are purgatory. And on the day of Armageddon, you will know the true death, the true hell. And believe me, if you think you're going to hell, like Christ said, you don't belong down here. If you go to the true hell, the true second death, you're going to wish you were back in the regular hell that you had been maybe there for centuries.
Hopefully that won't happen.
But agape love, gee, God loves. God is love, and that is his ultimate name, love.
Yeah, that's what I got. I'm sorry if I cut you off. But briefly, a couple weeks ago, I had a dream. I don't really remember the beginning of it, but I remember suddenly, like, a book was shoved in front of me, like, taking up my whole field of vision, and it was, like, scrolling. And it started scrolling very fast, and I kind of said, you know, hey, wait, I can, you know, take this in, but if you want me to, you know, read details, you got to slow it down. It slowed down briefly, but then it kept going really fast. So I said, okay, I'll just get the gist of it.
Hear me.
Okay.
If it ever happens again,
yeah,
you have the right to say, whoa, hold on, Daddy.
Yeah.
Slow this thing down. If you're going to present it to me, give it to me where I can understand it and read it. Stop it right there so I can look at it and read it. And
that's
you'll
what
do
I
it.
Tried to do. I said, if you want me to see all the details, you got to slow it down. If not, you know, I can read it, but I'm just going to get the gist of it. And so it sped up, and I said, okay, the gist of it is Jesus built four wormholes. I don't know what that means. I guess I'll, you know, learn that later. And then I kept hearing agape, 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 you know, really, and then it stopped. And
that is
up.
The great order of all mankind. Four, all, alien mankind and our mankind. Love, 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 forgive each other. Forgive your debtors. You know, I got people that owe me all kinds of money. After 7 years, I wrote them and said, you don't owe me a dang dime.
That's very nice of you.
Well, it's scriptural. Follow me, Christ said. And by golly, we 12 inner Hyokas follow Jesus Christ.
East.
And I'm not ashamed to say it.
Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hello, George, Red Elk.
Hey.
Gene calling from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
And first, I want to say, Red Elk, you are one fascinating man.
I'm a dip.
Join the club, my friend. First, I have a little story I wanted to tell you, and then I had a question for Red Elk.
Okay.
You were talking about the little people.
Yeah.
There is an area here that there's these little creatures known as she-devils.
Okay.
And they're really ferocious. I mean, they've been known to, I mean, actually tear the tops out of metal campers.
Are these animals?
Actually, they look like little humans. But the thing is, some friends of mine were walking along the lake bank, and they noticed a carp, laying on the bank. And it had just a really neat incision along its belly. Nobody here eats carp. Well, they got to looking around because they thought it strange, and in a tree right over from where the fish was, they found the claw. Now, I've seen this thing myself, and it's unbelievable.
You saw what in the tree?
A claw embedded in the tree.
What kind of claw?
From one of these creatures, I take it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd love to meet them. You got a power spot of evil, and I have to occasionally go and clear this out and square them away. I love them. I don't give a darn how bad they are, and they can't beat me because I love them.
Well, this claw is at least 5.5 to 6 inches long.
Okay.
It has a knuckle bone and hair on it.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know if it ties in with them or not, but this area is also known to have Sasquatch.
Sure. Yeah, there's interesting people, and folks say are people, not animals.
I agree with you totally.
But you got a power spot of evil, and somebody in knowledge, not just me, there's other medicine men and women, not New Agers, don't go to some dang New Age medicine person, book-learned idiot. I have to repair their work constantly. They mean well, but... there's people out there that know how to close these spots and calm these things down. But the earth is grating. Places are opening left and right. Different veils, different vortexes and stuff like that. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. You're going to see things that you could not possibly, you, me, no problem. But you could not possibly conceive even exist.
What are the warnings that are out there for us right now, Red Elk, that we need to be aware of?
Well, watch your news. And every one of those are a warning.
Every day.
The great tsunami that hit in Indonesia or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it was very, very painful to see so many die. But that was God saying, yeah, now I've got these 5,000 or whatever. They're safe. And this is a warning to the world. I sacrificed 5,000 lives for billions of lives. And then the tower going down. This is a warning. And then Katrina, this is a warning. Won't you people ever wake up?
Good point. Wildcard Line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Red. This is Justin from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Sure thing.
Hey.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say it's an honor to speak with you, Red. You're one of those special people I connect with right off the bat. I was born in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I grew up on many Native American tales, one of them being of the Anasazi. They flourished in the cliffs of New Mexico and suddenly disappeared without a trace. And my question for you, Red, is what can you tell me about the Anasazi?
Well, they were put down here in the first place as slaves by
other
beings. And that's why they were always watching the sky, knowing that someday, the slave masters will pick them up and take them to another planet to slave there. And that's what happened to them.
How many were there?
Huh?
Thousands? Millions? How many?
How many what?
How many were there?
Oh, just a few thousand.
Okay. All right, thanks. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, yes.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
great show. I wanted to ask Red Eagle, Red Eagle.
Red Elk.
Red Elk,
I'm
sorry.
Call me Red Elf, Red Elf, and it doesn't matter. I get them all. Go ahead.
Did you know the man who was John Denver, by any chance?
I never met him, but I sure wish I did. I was a great fan of that singer.
Yes, because I know he spent time out, especially in Montana. He had an Indian name of See the Eagle. And I was just wondering if you ever got to know him or...
No, unfortunately. I enjoy even this day listening to that young man's music.
A tragic loss.
Can you tell me, there was a lot of truth in his music, wasn't there?
Oh, you betcha.
That's what I thought.
The guy had a lot of touch with nature.
Yes, he did.
And he was able to not only sing it well, but to put it down. And hopefully, and that was his hope, I'm sure, that people would settle down and smell the roses.
Right. And he tried to tell us. He told us, coming out of the 60s, about global warming and pay attention to what the Earth is, the ecology, you know, the ecosystems. What we're doing here isn't right. We've got to do something about it. He was
sure.
One of the first voices that really came out about it.
There is an Indian. I just got an email here just before I left the house and drove here to Wisconsin some Indian sage, I guess, and I've never heard of him before, but what he said was so true. Until they cut the last tree and catch and eat the last fish, they will never know that they cannot eat money.
That's a good point. We should all pay heed to that.
Yeah.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
First, I wanted to thank Red Elk for being on the show and for telling people to get right with Papa. I just think that is awesome, and I hope that more and more people will wake up to that. And I have a personal dilemma, and that is that I've heard now for quite some time of a reptilian race, and they're supposedly aliens, an alien race, reptilians. And yet, I just found out that a friend of mine, right here in town, her boss shapeshifts into a reptilian right in front of her eyes.
Yeah, there's a lot of half-breeds that do this. Honey, you'd be surprised. I don't know if you're married, but it's all, they're all over the earth in a half-breed form. And you might be married to one for all I know, you know.
Well, I am married, but my husband gets mad, but he doesn't shapeshift.
Well, it doesn't have to shapeshift, but yeah. But anyway, yeah, I've seen it happen myself. I took care of that little problem with that one.
How can they interbreed with the human race?
Yeah, the same way a man breeds with a woman, honey.
Ah, that tells you right there.
They aren't that foreign. Let's put it that way. You know, they're not that. Their sperm is matchable to your egg.
You know, David Icke would talk a lot about reptilians as well. It's fascinating that there are so many people on this planet who actually understand that there could be reptilians. And they've been here since the beginning of time, I guess, haven't they?
Well, right after Lucifer. Right after
Lucifer. Why don't they leave this planet?
Because they want it. They want you and me and anybody. They want to own it. They want our gold, mostly our gold. They want to be kings. They want to be God over Earth. And they are such long livers. Some are, you know, with this white gold mixed with a certain kind of murder of one of our human beings and sacrificed human beings for their cause, and done in a ceremonial way, mixed with this white gold, gives longevity that allows their two queens, at least the two queens, to live for thousands of years.
Red Elk, we're out of time. I want you to get your website out and that number again, if you would. It's 888-999-1985 for truly an incredible story, 2 hours and 40 minutes of Red Elk scaring the heck out of you. 888-999-1985. The website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, redelk.org. I sure hope this isn't your last appearance.
Really, my brother?
Yes, sir.
It's totally up to you. I do not seek.
So you will come back if we ask you?
Yes.
No matter when?
Well,
5 years from now, God willing, if you're still alive.
Yeah, well, I'll be alive. I ain't going to die until I'm 157. But, yeah.
Well, that's
a lot of shows.
Then.
I'll die three more times. I've already died once.
All right. Red Elk, thanks so much for being on the program.
Yeah, and thank you for having me. God bless you all.
There he is. So maybe we did talk him out of retiring, huh? For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We shall see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.